Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here in the studio today by Craig Burley. This is Shaka Hislop. We have indeed found him. Don Hutchison is with us as well as we start off in the FA Cup. Portsmouth taking on Arsenal at Fratton Park. This game pretty much went as you would expect. Arsenal dominating. They would open the scoring just before the break. Socrates with the goal to make it 1-0. Nketiah then would make it 2-6 minutes into the second half. Arsenal safely through to the quarterfinals. We thought, yeah, we'd start the show with this. You know, we'd talk about the game. I don't know.
I wasn't in that meeting because I want no part of that.
But it's very difficult to say much about it, isn't it?
They
got the job done.
Well, off the back of their capitulation in the Europa League, they got to get back on the bike and start riding again. They got a, which Nichols sneered at yesterday when you says,
yeah,
you know, they're only with their game in hand in the league. If they won it, they'd be 2 points off Man United and Wolves. So I think it's for, you know, not for Stevie, but, you know, in general, just to, for people out there that don't think they can put a run of results together, it's up to them that they can show it. Going to Shaka's old club, Portsmouth, you know, FA Cup fifth round, difficult game, make some changes, and I thought in the end it was a very professional performance, particularly in the second half. And really, that's all you can do as a Premier League team going to a lower league club.
Listen, we've all played in games like this, and it simply is a no-win situation for a Premier League club. You go there, you win, as Arsenal do, you're expected to. And at the same time, it's a potential banana skin. Listen, given the kind of frailties we've seen from Arsenal, You wondered if they'd get the job done. And then the longer this game went on, you just wondered if Portsmouth did have a little bit of a surprise in them. Not a great team, Pompey. But once Socrates got that goal just before half-time, I thought very professional performance from Arsenal. One that was needed.
Don, overall, if Arsenal go on to win this competition, would you say that it's a successful season for them?
No, I think so. Especially for Arteta, who's been through the door a matter of months. If he can pull off a trophy and his first, what is it, half a season, I think would be a tremendous job. I'm not sure they've got the capabilities to go on and win the competition unless they get really lucky in the draw. I think there's there's loads of strongest teams, more so than Arsenal. I think he wants to improve the league form. I was looking at their fixtures before, and he's got a good run of fixtures coming up, Mikel Arteta. I don't think they're good enough to finish in the top five if fifth is good enough for a Champions League spot, but the fixtures that they've got are very, very kind until they get towards the latter stage of the season. Then the big fixtures come. So I think a good run, go deep in the competition and try and finish in a European spot, I think would be a decent season for them.
Meanwhile, a game which has got a little more interesting considering what happened to Liverpool against Watford at the weekend. Chelsea taking on Liverpool tomorrow in the FA Cup. Chelsea favourites, actually, to make it through to the quarterfinals. Both teams have had little wobbles of late, which from our point of view is interesting because you would imagine that they'll both go strong for this one.
Well, I'm not sure. I actually think we did something on digital in this earlier. I think Chelsea might have a sneaky chance here, not because Liverpool were very, very poor at the weekend against Watford, which they were, but one, because Chelsea are at home, and two, and I'm only surmising here, that Jurgen Klopp might be just thinking about putting all his eggs in that Champions League basket.
But that's next week, isn't it? You know.
I know, but
it's not as if Champions League's the weekend.
Yeah, but
why can't you play your proper team in this, man?
Listen to me. I'm not talking about a player being tired. I'm talking about key players getting injured.
Right.
So it don't matter if the game's next week or in 10 days.
Right.
They can ill afford to lose Mane, Firmino. They've already lost Henderson for the time being. They can't afford to lose anybody else, or Van Dijk. So I wonder whether or not he will make some, not wholesale, but make quite a few changes for this game, thinking, right, Premier League's pretty much in the bag.
Yes.
Champions League.
But surely you need to get your players sharp, playing properly.
Listen, I'm with Craig. I'll fully understand if Jurgen Klopp makes changes.
Why?
Just because and
did I not just explain to him?
Yeah. You listen.
Not just the
wobble in terms of result against Watford, but even though Liverpool have been winning, some of their performances haven't been that great, as you've spoken about over the last couple of weeks or so. I've heard that you spoke about Liverpool over the last couple of weeks. So you understand if he wants to change things and maybe give some of his key personnel a rest. At the same time, Chelsea, I expect them to go strong. Listen, they have been awful over the last few weeks. Willy Caballero and Kepa, does he give Kepa a run out and maybe figure things out?
No chance.
I think this is a bigger game for Chelsea, and you'll see that both in the lineups and probably the result.
Don?
I totally agree with Xhaka. I cannot see Liverpool playing a strong team. I looked at the team that they played against Shrewsbury in the last round, and it was full of teenagers. Harvey Elliott played at 16, Chiarravella 18. I think the oldest player was 21. So I can't imagine many of Jurgen Klopp's big hitters playing in this, because as Craig said before, you pick up an injury now, and even though the Champions League is approximately 10 days away, you've got no chance of recovering.
So you don't play them now, you don't play them against Bournemouth. Surely you need that bit of sharpness,
I don't think sharpness. I think they've played enough games. There's enough games in their legs to suggest that they are sharp. I mean, if anything, they might feel a little bit jaded. I thought you saw that in the performance against Watford. So I think you'll go pretty strong against Bournemouth, but even then he can rest a few. They're at
home against Bournemouth. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you go strong against Bournemouth, which is closer to the Atleti game? And Bournemouth game doesn't matter at all. I don't get it.
Well, it does, because the Premier League's the Premier League's the Holy Grail.
But they've won the Premier League. It's fine.
Well, we know they've won the Premier League, but Jurgen Klopp will still want to get back on the horse. They've lost one game against Watford, and he's quoted in the press today saying good teams don't lose two on the spin. So that suggests to me that, you know, he will play, you know, people like Adam Lallana if he's fit and one or two others. But I guarantee you it'll be a very, very young side against Chelsea. Then it'll be semi-strong against Bournemouth, and then his full-strength side against Atletico Madrid. It has to be. He can't take any chances. If Mane, Firmino, you know, Van Dijk, Alisson, if any of those pick up injuries in the next couple of games, I mean, you'd have to say the chances of them going through would be slim.
Right, that's three explanations you've had.
I'm not buying any of them.
That's three.
What do you ex-pros know
about
any of this?
That's three plausible explanations you've had, that he'll make changes against Chelsea, and then he'll make more changes against Bournemouth in the league, and then he'll hope to put his strongest team out against Atletico Madrid, right? That's not rocket science, right? Just because you want him to go there and play all his best players. I mean, he might do. He might. I mean, I don't think it'll be a poor Liverpool team.
Right.
I don't think we'll look at it and go, wow, look, I can't believe it. But I think we'll look at it and it'll be a very much a hybrid. I'll be surprised if it's not.
Right then, Don, prediction.
I think Chelsea win, because as Xhaka said before, at the two sides, the team and the manager that needs the result more, I think it's Frank at home. They've been on a desperate run. I commentated on their game at the weekend against Bournemouth, and they were lucky to get a draw. Phil Billing could have scored a very, you know, a couple of easy chances early on. They would have got beaten the game. So they're not in great form. So I would imagine Frank will go really, really strong. And I think Jurgen goes young, and I think the home side win.
For the reasons I mentioned, with Liverpool, with the changes, which I think will come, and Chelsea being at home, and they've played some good stuff at home, I'm going to go for a Chelsea win for that reason.
Chelsea.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Just a reminder, that will be our main talking point, of course, on the next edition of ESPN FC. We'll be looking back at Liverpool at full strength, thrashing Chelsea. Be sure to join us. Right then, Shaq. Mm-hmm. I assume, being the professional that you are,
you saw everything.
You saw yesterday's game between Everton and Manchester United.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. The late goal, obviously, in the end, disallowed.
Yeah.
Offside.
Rightly so.
From a goalkeeper's stance. Yeah, that's where I'm getting to. Right decision.
Rightly so.
Why?
Because offside is adjudged when the ball is struck. And when Calvert-Lewin strikes the ball, Sigurdsson is quite clearly interfering with David De Gea and is in his line of sight. Now, the deflections come after the fact, but offside is adjudged when the opposing player, Lars, strikes the ball. When Calvert-Lewin hits it, there's no question that Sigurdsson is interfering with David De Gea.
Don Hutchinson, what do you think?
So here's my beef. Gylfi Sigurdsson was lying on the floor, and David De Gea is 6'4", 6'5", and he's staring down over the top of Gylfi Sigurdsson. I'm left none of the wiser how the goal's been chalked off, because of what's come out of the referees is the line of vision, line of sight. How, Xhaka, can a goalkeeper of your height be looking over a player that's lying on the floor and then still claim your vision was impaired? It doesn't sit right with me.
See, I, I, I understand your point, but Sigurdsson is right there in his peripheral vision. Who knows if he wasn't there, if David De Gea would then choose to advance off of his line. There are a lot of unknowns here that I think you have to give the goalkeeper the benefit of the doubt here.
What about Stevie's point that he made yesterday? Was the fact that if he was so unsighted, then how come he made that step to the right? How come he knew the ball was going in that direction?
The initial shot does go to his right. He does step to his right, and the deflection. Listen, if Sigurdsson was not there, I think the goal still goes in and rightly stands. But the fact of the matter is, again, judging it when Calvert-Lewin strikes the ball, you don't know whether David De Gea would have taken that opportunity just to take another step or two towards the player. You don't know if he's in his peripheral vision and just kind of distracting him enough. You have to give the offside there.
You are right in what you say. The deflection doesn't reset the motion of the decision. I've got a massive problem with it. I do still believe the goal should have stood, but I can see where the goalkeepers' union, right, and the referees and former referees, the PGMOL and some pundits that want to make an argument for the decision being correct, will use the line of sight argument. Mm. Now, it's not a stupid argument. It is a legitimate argument. I don't agree with it, but it's legitimate. Unlike the Lo Celso and other instances where they've just looked like a bunch of idiots.
Sure.
They don't look like that here. It's a subjective. Gab mentioned it last night. It is a subjective call. The first time he looked at it, I can tell you, he looked at it once and said, I'm with De Gea.
What, were you with him yesterday when he was watching all the games in great detail?
Well, he said to me he was walking around, he's been walking around Carnival in Trinidad with an iPad. He said he's missed not a beat.
Don, what did you make of what we saw afterwards? Carlo Ancelotti, of course, sent off for what he said to the referee.
Yeah, I sort of don't mind that. Everyone knows that Ancelotti's, you know, wears his heart on his sleeve and he's very passionate. I think he said in his post-match that, you know, it's not the first time and it won't be the last. And I think Evertonians will get on board with that. I think any fan, you know, when the emotion inside of Goodison Park, I mean, listen, I'll take you back to a ghost goal that I scored in the Merseyside derby and a ball that came off my backside with about 10 seconds to go and it rolled over the line and Graham Pohl was the referee. And as the ball went over the line, he blew his whistle at full time, hit the Gladys Street end. So there's been so many decisions that have went against Everton at the Gladys Street end. It was all just pandemonium. It was a bit, you know, very emotional. And I can understand why Ancelotti went onto the pitch to confront the referee because his emotions are high. And I think he was very calm afterwards. And he just said, look, he'll take the punishment. It'll probably be a ban. Not a problem. He said, I'll sit in the stand. I've been there before. And I think Evertonians, like I said, will like that sort of passion in him.
Do we have to get Don's backside? Is that
to be honest, I don't know if Ancelotti knows the history of the Gladys Street end or that goal going off Don's backside.
Don's calling him.
But I want to know what he said to the referee, because I said it yesterday in the show when we were on. It was very headmasterish from the referee. Mm. Ancelotti is very much a player's manager, but he's never really been a rant on a raver. He may have. I don't imagine he'd come on.
It's not the referee's fault.
What do you mean?
No, it's not.
He wasn't the one who made the decision, was
it? No, it's not.
No, but what I mean is, unless he's on there effing and blinding and using expletives beyond recognition, I don't see the point of standing there brandishing a red card.
But then why should the referee have to accept that? Another grown man in his face shouting at him about a decision that he made?
The referee has to know that
a grown man in his face.
He's the face of these decisions, right? He's the first port of call, regardless of where that decision was made, whether it was on the sidelines or in the VAR room. He also has to know that this is an emotional game, and especially with calls like this, you're going to have emotions. You're going to have people saying things to you, whether it's a player or a manager.
At the same time,
you can't just go around brandishing red cards just because you don't like what you have to. You have to be able to accept some of this criticism and some of this emotion.
But think of the children, Shaq. What sort of example is that to the youngsters?
And the red card does what?
What? Well, it says, don't be naughty. Don't use naughty words to the referee.
Okay.
That's very bad.
But it goes back to another point about... I was just looking at that big screen behind us. It goes back to...
Thanks, Greg, for that.
I was going back to another point about the final decision should rest with the referee.
Always,
and then we know where the blame lies. Not with John Moss in the VAR booth, you know, making a subjective call. And I think that's the frustration for all the players.
and pundits, and more importantly, managers.
A lot more about this game, by the way, is discussed on the latest edition of the Gav and Jules podcast, as well as everything that happened in what was a very busy weekend across Europe. Be sure to check it out. Gerard Piqué not exactly complimentary about Real Madrid after Barca's 2-0 defeat at the Bernabeu yesterday in the El Clasico. We're upset. We thought we could get a good result here because Madrid came into the game in a bad shape. It was one of the worst Madrid sides I've faced at the Bernabeu in the first half. He's not wrong, is he?
What was he score at half-time again?
It's 0-0, chat. I know you've been away.
No, I'm making the point. I mean, why say that as 0-0? I mean, what does that say about you? As Barcelona, go in there and against the worst Real Madrid team you've seen yet, you have nothing to show for it. It's a ridiculous comment from Gerard Piqué. A
couple of chances in the first half, really a memory of any note.
Yeah, Griezmann put it over the bar, Messi, of course.
It wasn't like Courtois was absolutely
correct.
Getting pummeled. Do you know what I mean? So it's a strange thing to say. He tried to walk it back a little bit and, later on in the piece that he did to the journalists. But ultimately, you know, you could have just said, listen, they were there for the taking. Instead of saying this is the worst side.
Yeah.
You know, we know the things have changed for Real Madrid, but they've also changed for Barcelona. And they've got a game against Napoli coming up at home where they're favourites to win. Napoli are pretty much, you know, struggling in Serie A, moved up to, I think, 6. And if they have to get put out by them,
yeah.
You know, words like this come back are going to come back to haunt them.
It's interesting, though, because in a way, the Clásico set the bar so high over the years. When you look at the talent on show, and obviously there's no Xavi and Iniesta, there's no Figo, Beckham and all that sort of thing. You don't have the superstars, maybe, that you had in the past. And that was kind of exemplified yesterday, wasn't it? In the fact that it was a Clásico wasn't full of quality.
Well, that's if you're considering Toni Kroos.
Yeah, who's getting on a bit?
Marcelo,
you know?
Varane, Ramos.
I'd put Marcelo in that sentence.
Well, you sat and made an argument with Nico yesterday about Ramos being world class.
He is world class.
I mean, you just sat and told me there's no superstars in the game.
But there aren't the same sort
Gerard
of superstars.
Gerard Piqué played in the game.
But is Marcelo at his peak? No. Is Ramos at his peak? No.
Listen,
which makes it even worse.
We 2 years ago, we'd have been talking about this Clásico with as much enthusiasm as you would have in the past, albeit Ronaldo's now moved on.
Yes, and that's a big factor.
That is a big factor. And both these squads have largely remained unchanged and have grown just a couple of years older. So maybe it doesn't have that impact that it did, but I still think it's one of the must-see games. This one didn't live up to all the hype because...
Last one didn't, it was 0-0 as well.
Yeah, Messi, and again, as we've said all season long, when he's anything less than superhuman, this Barcelona team is average at absolute best, despite what Gerard Piqué may seem to think. And this isn't the Real Madrid that... I think we knew over the last few years. And as a result, it felt a little bit flat to me.
There's no Pepe running around kicking everyone.
Let me see how Pepe runs around.
What that? One point then. Real Madrid are clear at the top of the table with, 12 matches to go in Spain. Eden Hazard, though, will miss a lot of the run-in because he had to undergo ankle surgery. This has not been the signing that he or indeed Real Madrid were hoping for when he made that big move from Chelsea to the Spanish capital. 15 games, struggling with injury, just the one goal. How significant is him being out for Real Madrid's title chances?
Not as significant as they would have thought when they signed him because of the reasons that you mentioned. Look, he can't really do much about the injuries, if anything, but what he can do, and I think people at Madrid will have taken note of this, is not gloat about going away in the summer and putting on a pile of pounds, right?
Yeah.
And then having to come back and shake it all off. That was fine back in the day when none of us had schedules to keep to during the summer and you did take 2 months off. Well, the game has changed and players are expected by the money they get paid and by the profile they keep to keep themselves in a reasonable shape during the summer, to be in better shape when pre-season starts so you're not chasing your tail, and when you start chasing your tail, that's when injuries happen, right? Now, I know some of them might come down to tackling, but that's how injuries happen. When you're chasing your fitness all the time. So dare I say, for the outlay that they've had, they will expect from now on a bit more professionalism from Eden Hazard.
You can come back from your off-season as fit as you like and still suffer just as many injuries and yes. miss as much time. But to come back in the shape that he did doesn't help his cause, no. Given how this season has played out. But to your question, Dan, in terms of their title chances, certainly in La Liga, quite clearly, it's their title to lose. I think Vinicius Junior, as exciting as he is, he's not the finisher that Eden Hazard is or can be at his absolute best. But I certainly think, in terms of the league, he is more than capable of filling that void left by Hazard.
Be sure to join us on Extra Time today over on the YouTube channel. There's one subject that dominates, Shaka.
What's that?
Carnival.
Why?
MLS action continues this weekend. Portland Timbers taking on New Boys and National FC. That game live on ESPN at 7 p.m. Eastern. Well, we're joined now by Hercules Gomez to reflect on what we saw from opening weekend of the 2020 season. Unfortunately, Herc, the big story is one that no one wanted to see. Joseph Martinez and that ruptured ACL.
It's sad news. Sad news for the player, sad news for the team, sad news for the league. He's one of the marquee players in this league. I had him in my power rankings of overall best players as number two right behind Carlos Vela. When you talk about Joseph Martinez and his impact, not only on this team but the league, you're talking about a player who scored 77 goals in 84 matches. A player who's already been named the MVP, who's lifted the MLS Cup, the Open Cup, he's been the All-Star Game MVP. Any single award that this league has to offer, he's lifted. Now, they're in a CONCACAF Champions League battle versus one of the most storied teams in Liga MX, that is Club America. And before this injury, I actually had Atlanta, not surprising, I think very fittingly, winning and going past Club America. This all changes with Joseph Martinez's injury. This now the MLS championship that could be for Atlanta United, them fighting for playoffs, them fighting for titles. Everything changes. It's a very, very difficult situation that Atlanta United finds themselves in, because they can't just go out into the open market and say, okay, let's bide our time and come summertime, let's get a DP of the equal caliber. We'll spend that same amount of money. These strange rules and mechanisms that Major League Soccer has prohibit that from happening. They're almost handcuffed. They can't go out and get another DP. So now you're thinking about an Adam John who's going to come in and be the backup player. You're thinking about what potentially could be for this Atlanta United team, what potentially could have been in this CONCACAF Champions League run. And if I'm an Atlanta United fan, if I'm a Major League Soccer fan, it's just so frustrating to see what could have been with this great player.
Frustrating is a word that you could use, but for a different reason, describing a different striker. Chicharito, of course, making his MLS debut this weekend. And it was clear as the game went on, he was getting more and more, it seemed, annoyed at the lack of service, Herc.
Yeah, and he shouldn't be surprised. He should almost get used to it. There's really only one player on that roster that has the ability to beat anybody 1v1 and really create that kind of service, and that's Christian Pavon. And you saw them kind of, I don't want to say fighting, but they were at each other's eyesights and maybe throats at times. They weren't in agreement where the service should be, where the movement should be. Chicharito Hernandez, rightfully so, should be frustrated, maybe with the way the team plays, but they're going to be a better team. That's the thing. Chicharito Hernandez said it himself. He doesn't care how many goals he scores. He wants to lift that championship. Well, him being there and him playing that way with a better defensive structure than they could have played with Zlatan Ibrahimovic, because he's not that type of player, they're going to win more games. But Chicharito Hernandez is not going to score the goals that people think. If people are thinking Chicharito Hernandez is going to score anywhere around 25 goals a season and maybe fight for what was Carlos Vela's historic record and fight for the golden boot, I don't think that's going to be the case. He's not a back-to-goal number 9 type of striker, and that's almost the way he's playing. You could see him oftentimes late to get into the box, and that's his bread and butter, because he's not there yet. The play is different than he is used to. He's going to have to get used to it, unless in the summer markets this LA Galaxy team can make some transfer to help out that midfield.
On the other side, you've got Carlos Vela just pretty much picking up from where he left off last season.
It's unbelievable. I mean, what else can you do, Dan? You have 34 goals, 15 assists, and you're going to ask him to repeat it? No, by no means can he repeat. But then midweek in a CONCACAF Champions League game, going 2 goals down in the first leg, he single-handedly lifts up LAFC with 2 goals midweek, and then he comes on, and you can evidently tell that he's tired. He is fatigued, and he gives us a goal of the season caliber type play already in week 1. Carlos Vela is getting better as he gets older. It is scary, and he's got many down south clamoring for his inclusion now with the national team again, whether that's the Olympics or whether that's the senior national team with Tata Martino. It grows louder and louder and louder every day.
His goal, of course, the difference between their game against Inter Miami, David Beckham's side's first match as an MLS team. How did you assess them?
Well, let me start by saying they sold us a false bill of goods. Everything we've heard from Jorge Mas, from David Beckham, was how offensive and offensive-minded this team was going to be, how the possession, how they're going to be exciting in the final third, how that tiki-taki type of play, the global stars. And then they go out and they get Diego Alonso, who down south in Mexico had Pachuca and he had Rayados, two teams with very rich rosters, and he played a very defensive counter-attacking style that wasn't what they promised. Now we see these big signings, and the biggest signing is Rodolfo Pizarro, who's a very good player in Liga MX, but he wasn't the best player in Liga MX. We still haven't gotten that global superstar they promised. We hear how Beckham's Rolodex, he has the likes of Cristiano and Messi and Suarez and Cavani and all these different type of players, Neymar, who he can call, who he can communicate with, and you still don't have that marquee player in Miami. It's not what we want. It's not what us here at FC want. It's not what us in the media want. It's what they told us, and they still haven't produced. It's a very, very young team. I would say incomplete at the moment, and if they really want to fight for playoffs, they're lucky they're in the East, but if they really want to fight for playoffs, they're still about 2 to 3 key pieces away from doing that.
Meanwhile, Hurt, before we let you go, your fifth point is about the fact, and you've talked about this trend a lot, players coming from Liga MX and really making a difference.
Yeah, it's not just the Liga MX connection, it's the El Tri connection. And I'm talking about the players like Lucas Alarayan, Osvaldo Alaniz, Pedro Gallese, who posted a shout-out for Orlando, Alan Pulido, who scored in his debut, Felipe Mora, who drew a PK, played very well for Portland. It's all over. Carlos Vela, Chicharito Hernandez, who sold out because of his presence, what was the Houston Dynamo Stadium. It's already paying dividends. This is why we see this relationship, this collaboration continue to happen, because it's smart money, and because these players can play on the field. We're still waiting for the likes of Edison Flores, but we've already seen it from Raul Ruiz Diaz in the past. This relationship is going to continue to grow, continue to be strengthened by these players coming from down south to what is Major League Soccer, and this relationship is going to continue to grow because it's smart business, it's smart money, and it's good on the field.
Hercules Gomez, thank you very much. Hercules, of course, will be joining us throughout the MLS season, and every week there will be the new MLS Power Rankings published. Be sure to check out the latest edition over on the website.
There's Crispy. And then there's Crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
I'm not sure if you've noticed or if indeed we've mentioned it, but it was Shaq's vacation for the last 2 weeks. During your vacation, Shaq, was your birthday.
Yeah.
We'd completely forgotten about it, but someone on the production staff felt that you still deserved a cake.
Oh, my word.
What a cake it is. Look at the size of this thing. Let me just tip this up so you can see it.
It's bigger than Craig's cake.
Obviously, this pays tribute to your time at NASA as an intern.
Oh, I thought it was the amount of travel needed.
That's a freaking fly on Mars.
Look at this.
Well, it's definitely... It's bigger than Sebi's.
Even though you didn't work your birthday, you get the biggest cake. I think it's even bigger than Craig's.
I think so too.
Yeah, but it's not about the size.
What's it about?
Pretty people with small cakes.
Would you eat that? Would you eat that cake?
I worked for my birthday and I got a cupcake from the calf.
Yeah, but you're only small.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
So, Shaka, can you name all the planets?
Thank you very much.
So, name all the planets then, Shaq.
That's Earth.
Yeah, well, you know that's Earth. You're supposed to be an expert.
That's Mercury.
Are you sure?
That's the moon. Do you know they discovered another moon orbiting the Earth?
Didn't they?
Small moon.
Yeah. What's this then? What's the closest planet?
Saturn.
That's not Saturn.
Pluto.
Shaq, you know nothing about this.
I'm just saying.
I'm supposed to be an expert.
Well, you tell me then. Yeah, I'm telling you what it is.
That's not Saturn, is it?
What is it?
I don't know.
No, Saturn is the big one at the end. This is Saturn.
That's the sun.
That's the sun. Oh, that's the sun. Well, I got that all wrong.
I've got
that sun is too small.
That's one of the worst cakes.
How did you get an internship at
that? The sun is too small. That's what threw me off.
Right.
That's one of the worst cakes I've ever seen.
I love this cake.
Oh, if that costs more than $4.99, I'll be shocked.
The size of that.
It's a great cake.
Goodbye.
Happy birthday to me.
Welcome into Extra Time, where we're celebrating Shaka's belated birthday. As he returns from Carnival. It's quite a cake, but it's a cake that seems to have brought out the grumpiness even more.
Why are you so angry at the cake? It's like it's getting a bit old now, cake, isn't it?
No, I mean, it is one of the best things.
What's that birthday?
Well, every time it's somebody's birthday, somebody brings a cake in, it's like... Oh,
you're excited when you got your cake.
I'm not 5 and 6 year olds.
No, I hope it's still nice to celebrate, to have a bit of cake.
You celebrate when you get your 50s.
I'm celebrating. I'm loving this. I'm loving my cake.
You get angry about cake.
Want some cake?
Well, I don't eat cake, so I'm not fussed.
Nice and cake?
No.
You do want some
stick
cake?
It.
Yeah, you do.
No, but I just think, somebody's buffet, let's bring cake.
I'm going to cut
originality zero.
Oh, okay. What would you want?
No, this is good. Look, this is very original.
I'll tell you what I want.
Look at that.
I want no cake. Crack off. Finish.
Ah, beautiful. Oh, that's nice. Of course, because Shaka did an internship at NASA.
Yes, back in the day, a long time ago.
Hence you get that. Don's with us. Don, you must be jealous. A, you don't get cake when it's your birthday because you're in London. And also, you're not here to eat this one.
Look at Craig's face.
I know.
Craig's face. He's absolutely fuming. I know.
You can't
amazing.
Be angry
Craig
and eat cake
is absolutely
at the same
fuming.
Time.
I don't know why you're putting that there.
You can't be angry and eat cake. Come on, Craig.
I'm not angry at the cake. I'm angry at the thought process.
People being nice.
That you have a birthday? How dare you have a birthday?
Wow. I heard their boss talking about the other day. She says, well, your cake didn't really look like you, so I didn't. And I thought,
this is awesome. What different layers as well? Chocolate, vanilla, sponge, lovely, right?
Oh, look at that.
Did you hear that? So
what?
Our boss was telling me about the cake the other day.
Who was?
Our boss, not mentioning any names.
Right, well, I know who that is.
And he was telling me about the cake because my cake didn't quite look right, so they were going to do it, and I was like, I'm really not interested.
Right, okay, good. Well, thanks for bringing everybody down. Boom shakalaka, welcome back.
It's not original.
And please don't ask Shaka.
No more cakes. See, I'm sick of them.
Please don't ask Shaka any questions about Carnival. What happens at Carnival stays at Carnival. Is that right, Shaka?
That is very true.
Nobody sent me any pictures, by
the way. Because whatever happens at Carnival stays at Carnival.
Someone said... What's this, though, Shaka?
That's one time I was photographed. Right
off. Wow, that's sad.
Well, for it with my feathers.
Wow.
My towel dropped a little.
That's his pre-cake, most
tell you what,
definite.
You've let yourself go, but...
Oh, dear, right.
I'm having some.
Right, Craig's eating the cake now. Have your cake and eat.
Happy. Go on, Craig. It's good cake. It's good cake. You have to admit, it's good cake.
What do you know about cake?
What do you know?
I have one every year.
Who would burn faster in Trinidad? Don or Craig?
What?
Trinidad sun.
Who would burn?
In the
Craig.
Sun. Craig?
Yeah, Craig.
You think so?
No chance.
What? No. Oh, hey. What's Don getting angry about? Don?
You want to burn faster, John?
I think I'd beat Craig in a race.
Hey, not a race.
Who would get sunburned?
Who would get sunburned?
Oh, sunburn Craig all day long.
There you
go. That's Craig. That's true.
That's because I wouldn't be lying in the sun with my speedos on. I'd be under the umbrella like normal people.
Yeah. Although I heard you bought some speedos for your upcoming holiday.
No, you didn't. I was winding my daughter. I sent my daughter a picture of some. No, I'm not going there.
Right, okay.
Oh, I sent her some speedo. No, let's move on.
You sent her a picture of someone in speedos saying, "Buy me some at the mall." Yes.
Yeah.
To embarrass her.
Yeah.
I'm sure you don't need speedos to embarrass her, to be honest.
No.
Just your existence. If a Liverpool loses a game...
They won't let me pick her up from school, you know, something.
Well, I wouldn't bother either.
I'm all right taking her in the morning.
Is she going to pick her up?
No, I won't. Some days when she comes back...
Would you?
It's embarrassing.
Right. Let's talk about soccer, shall we, before YouTube explodes.
Somebody will complain.
They're
not analysing the game.
Yes, there'll be a lot of complaints.
Somebody else will have to explain.
4 minutes in and they haven't mentioned football once.
Craig just ate the cake, threw the fork down and said, horrible. So nobody but himself.
If Liverpool loses a game, but Shaka's not there to see it, does it count against them in the power rankings?
What? Liverpool lost?
Shaka's power rankings are going to be a bigger mess than normal.
The next power rankings could be fun, couldn't it?
Exactly.
Barcelona could be top.
Yeah, exactly.
Followed by Liverpool.
PSG are up there.
You'll believe how many people are stopping me, asking me, you know, make sure I look after my team in the power rankings.
Really?
I mean, I had a few drinks at the time. So I don't know if that may influence things.
You had a rush. Don, is Wolves the most underrated team in the Premier League?
Is Wolves the most underrated team in the Premier League?
Is there a pirate in here?
He's thinking, isn't he? That's the old trick.
Yeah, the old trick.
Well, are they underrated because everyone knows about them? So I'd probably say no. I'd probably say Sheffield United are my old club because coming up from the Championship to get anywhere near a European spot, I think they've done phenomenally well.
Well said, Don.
Didn't listen to any of that.
Right.
You'll get fired.
No, you didn't, did you?
It'll be all right.
Is Craig still eating the cake?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Almost finished the piece that he had that he didn't want.
Those lip bangers, that's Craig throwing on his fork every single time.
It's over my chin, Don.
Don, if we made a combined 11 of Chelsea and Arsenal, would they finish top four?
Yes, I think they would. Instead of...
Chelsea.
Well, Chelsea. Chelsea top four anyway.
Well, you'd put Aubameyang in there, so he'd get you the goals that were that they've been sorely missing.
Yeah.
For all the good play. That's one player, sure. There you go, I've answered the question. Don's answered, I've answered. Move on.
Good, I am. I'm really waiting for you to finish.
Man, that cake was good.
Yeah, it was good cake. Yeah, it was nice. Great cake, did it?
That was a lot of cake.
No, I don't hate the cake. I hate the premise behind it.
Right. The nice celebratory premise.
I don't really get birthday cakes for really old people. Come on,
Don, what would be worse, Craig as a goalkeeper or Shaka as a midfielder?
What? That's easy.
Oh, wow.
That's an easy answer.
Yeah, Shaka is a midfield player.
No,
definitely.
It's not.
Yeah, I can do it.
Of course it is.
What? Goalie. I've done that. I was born a striker, you know. It's an easier adjust for me just to drop back a little bit. I used to play out in college, you know.
Did you, Shaq?
I did.
Do you know what the gloves do here? Do you know how sticky they are? The goalkeeping gloves.
Right.
You could climb up the Empire State Building wearing them. Right.
What difference does that
make? And how the hell can they drop the ball? And they bloody stick to them. In the old days, they were wearing like washing gloves. Washing up, they'd do slimy things, they would slip into. In fact, they never even had gloves.
Right.
Now his lot.
Yeah.
Could have scaled the input. Honestly, you could have done. Wouldn't have fall off.
I've played on a few times.
Danny, you're right there with that cake.
I'm good, mate.
Danny, you're okay with that cake?
Yeah, it's lovely. Thank you, Don.
It's nice.
Thank you for asking.
Let's plan it
in.
Nice.
It's beautiful.
Nice.
Beautiful. Oh, that's it.
Stars.
Right, we are done. Thank you very much.
Well, you're done.
Welcome back,
Shaq. I'm eating more cake. Thank you very much.
Right. Don, can you use golf shafts that are stiff? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right, because you're using my clubs if you ever come over. Nicol was talking about it yesterday.
How did we get onto this? I was just saying, you've been in a rush to leave all day, and now I'm saying goodbye and you start talking about golf shafts.
Well, I'm letting Don know if he ever does come across.
Send him a text. He's got a phone, I'm sure.
I'll save you some cake, Don.
Goodness,
if you ever come over, you'll use Craig's clubs.
Keep it up,
eat some cake.
Which one's your reign, sir, Shaq?
There you go. Oh, dear. There we are. We'll end on that note. Thank you very much. Returns tomorrow.
I don't want to get a text from our boss who shall not be named.
Oh, yeah, we want to talk to you about cakes.
Celtic against Liverpool.